Word of God is, in essence, a heartbeat.
Yes, amen.
And is that which has placed us into existence and also placed us in the body of Christ.
Amen.
And it's powerful.
Yes,
it is. It says what it means. It means what it says. And it is testimony of
Amen.
What has already been accomplished. It needs no one, and where it comes from doesn't matter, as long as it is rightly divided.
Amen.
I want you to sit prayerfully now as the elderly woman shall come forth.
Amen.
And he is going to convey unto us the gospel of the grace of God. Let us receive him and the word of God with a very hearty amen. Hopefully everybody has a copy of this document.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Let's say grace and peace to the household of faith.
Grace and peace, Allah.
Amen. Thank God for everyone here. Thank God for his goodness, his grace, his kindness, his love. That he has bestowed upon us in eternity before the foundation of the world. God had us all picked, had us all elected, has taken care of the whole thing.
Yes,
so we're so blessed today. The fact that you are a member today, you are blessed at being a member of this church in time. But thank God before he placed you in this church in time.
All right.
He put you united with him in eternity, as a member in his glorious body,
that's right,
the body of Christ. Amen. Right. Let every heart pray. Let me get right started in today's word. Thank God for his goodness, grace, and his kindness, and his love. Amen. Yes. Father God, in Jesus' name, we just thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness.
Hallelujah.
We thank you, Lord, for just breathing upon and blessing us before the foundation of the world.
Yes.
Oh, God, it was all because of your marvelous grace, your marvelous kindness, your marvelous provision that you made for us. Your people, hallelujah, that you love in eternity. So we can always say thank you, Jesus. So, Father, right now we ask you to bless the service today, Father. Bless your people. Breathe on everyone here according to your will. Hallelujah. Energize your word, Father. Oh, God, bless everything to be said, Father. Let it be said to magnify Christ. Let everything, Father, glorify thee. And we'll be mindful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' wonderful and majestic name, let all the people of God say amen and amen. Well, I thank God for this day. Thank God for another day, hallelujah, where we can just come together and rejoice in the God of our salvation. I trust that everyone has a document. The foundation of our discussion today. And that document is entitled The Scriptural Application of Belief, Surrender, Confession, Restitution, and Imploration. Amen. Hallelujah. So at this time, but before we get started, let's go right into the Word of God. Amen. We go right into the book of Titus, chapter 3. Very familiar passage. We've been going on past and been going over this for several months. Amen. Thank God for a repetition of God's word. We'll be reading from Titus chapter 3. And Deacon Gavin would be our reader.
Amen.
And a very familiar passage. Deacon, you know where to go. We'll be going right in Titus chapter 3, verse 5, 6, 7, and 8. Amen. Again, Titus chapter 3, verse 5, 6, 7. And verse 4, yes.
All right.
Yes, that's right. Let's begin. We'll begin with verse 4. Amen. Again, Titus chapter 3, verse 4, 5, 6, 7, and 8. Amen. You may begin reading.
Greek text or King James.
We'll go with the King James, and then we'll go right into the Greek. Amen.
Amen. Titus chapter 3, verse 4, King James. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, Amen. But according to his mercy, he saved us.
According to his mercy. Amen. It wasn't anything about us, saints. It was God's mercy.
Mm-hmm.
His kindness, his love.
Yes, sir.
That he saved us. Amen.
Yes. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Mm-hmm. Verse 6, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior.
Notice he shed on us abundantly. Amen.
Mm-hmm. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Amen.
Amen. Now, let's go right into the Greek. Let's, again, for those that, mm-hmm. thank God for, I know some of you have a Greek text, mm-hmm. and amen. For those that don't, just kind of follow along, but Nadi is going to kind of shift gears and go right into
yes.
the original Greek. Amen.
Amen. Titus chapter 3, verse 4, mm-hmm. interlineal Greek text. But when the kindness and the love to man appeared of the Savior of us.
Notice it says, but God. When. Mm-hmm. It says, no, he says, but when the kindness and the love to man appeared of the Savior of us.
God.
When, and the Savior we know is God. Mm-hmm. But notice when. When the kindness, when. Now somebody said, God, when was it? In other words, when did God show his kindness and love to you? A lot of people say, oh, God, a lot of people that's walked with in tradition, mm-hmm. they'll tell you that they'll say, God showed his kindness and love to me mm-hmm. when I made a decision to accept Christ. Mm-hmm. Or they'll say, when I got baptized. Or they say anything that occurred in time. Mm-hmm. But the key is that we need to understand that when is linked back to eternity. God saved you and loved you yes. before the foundation of the world. In yes. fact, he loved you before he created you in time.
Yes.
When you were manifested, created in time, God already had his love shine abroad you. Before you even knew anything about the eternal workings of God, God already had everything already solved. Before you can do anything about it, God already had everything already worked out. Why? Because the time when, it was all tied up in eternity. Amen. Okay, you may be continuing.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Verse 5. Not by works in righteousness which did we, but according to the of him mercy, he saved us through washing of regeneration and renewal spirit of holy.
Now notice, he saved us. Mm-hmm. Notice it says, not by works and righteousness which we have, what, which did we. In other words, it wasn't about anything that we did. It was about everything that he did. Amen. And see, it's amazing how Titus, you know, Titus talks about by not a works of righteousness which, what, we have done, but it was everything that God did. You know, it's amazing. Somebody said, well, this sounds like Paul. Well, hey, Titus was hanging around with Paul. Hey, if any time you are a student of the Apostle Paul, you're going to teach and preach like Paul. Amen. Because Titus was one of the mentors. Amen. Paul mentored him into the doctrines of what? The eternal workings of God. But again, it was not according to what we did, but it was all according to what God did, what Christ did through us. Amen.
Hallelujah.
You can continue.
Verse 6. Which he shed on us richly through Jesus Christ, the Savior of us, mm-hmm. in order that, having been justified mm-hmm. by the of that one grace, heirs we might having become, according to a hope of life eternal.
Amen. Notice, mm-hmm. now see, in the King James, somebody said, well, what, you know, why do y'all go to the Greek? Well, this is one example right here. Right. See, the King James brethren, they have this, what? You are being justified.
Right.
And see, what happened, there are so many people today, they're trying to do everything in time to be justified. In other words, they're trying to do all types of good works.
Yeah.
I pay my tithes.
Yeah.
I go to church. I read my Bible. These things are all good. These are all good works which we should do. According to God's grace that is given to what? To all of us. But we don't do these things to be justified.
Right.
We do these things because we have been justified. And believe me, there's a big difference in trying to get something to get or trying or doing something because you already have. Amen. You were already saved. You already adopted. You already sanctified. You already justified. You already glorified. Somebody said, how many you glorified? What are you talking about? Glorified? I got all this, whatever, pain in my body and everything and headaches, man. I got all this. Wait a minute. You already glorified in eternity. So you shall be glorified in time. So when you say that you are not glorified, yeah, that's to the degree of the manifestation of your glorification. But let me say this. If you were not glorified in eternity, forget it. You will never be glorified in time. The only reason that you are glorified, that you are saved now, because you were saved in eternity.
Hallelujah.
Before the foundation of the world. Amen?
Hallelujah.
Now, let's go right to this document here.
Hallelujah.
Now, what we're going to do, I'm going to go right back to the beginning. See, one thing about learning, the key component of learning is repetition. And some of this, I know Pastor has gone over some of this, but then some of you may not have been here. So on the scripture application of belief, surrender, confession, restitution, and imploration, where it says believe and surrender to God. What does it mean to believe and surrender to God? You see, first of all, that title there is—it's almost like you having control when they say, "Well, I gave my life to the Lord." You know, how many times you heard people say that? I gave my life to the Lord. It's almost like they can turn on the workings of God like they turn on an automobile, a car. Okay, I turn off when I want to. It's like you in control. No, it's when you say you gave your life to God. Let's look at this. Let's look at this in more detail to see what does the Bible say.
That's right.
See, we're not interested in what man say.
Right.
Because what man say can change overnight.
Amen.
But what God says can never change. Never change. Because God's word is eternal. Amen.
Amen.
I was talking to a brother the other day who was, he used to go to one of the churches I came out of about 20 years ago. And we were talking about some things, and it's amazing. In terms of the works of salvation. And just talking to this brother, he's amazing. He was saying, Liverman, the new provision, the new formula. He didn't say formula, I know what he was saying. In other words, what the church said now about being saved is sort of different from what they preached 20 years ago.
Amen.
You see, what happens, man's opinions, his thoughts, situations change. But God's word never changes. Amen. And that's what we want to be anchored and rooted into the workings of God that can never change, because it's the workings of God that were all linked and rooted in eternity.
Yeah.
Amen. And anything that's linked and rooted in eternity, you have foundation. You have security. Isn't it? Wouldn't you rather be positioned into God, who knows he can never change, he will never change, and the corroboration, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why is that? The reason is because God can never change, because everything is already decreed, and if it's already decreed, it ain't gonna change. So that's security there to be having the God of our salvation in a position where we are united with Him, and our salvation based upon the fact that God cannot change. Amen. Believe and surrender. First page, please. Going right back here. I know it's going to be some repetition, but amen. Thank God for that. It is of the utmost importance to scripturally examine and assess the unscriptural and incorrect applications of certain realistic practices that have been orthodoxically adopted in the misconceived regenerating process of conferring salvation. The subtle passiveness and or prideful arrogance of diversified sects of Christendom have established a confusion intrusion into the eternal doctrine of regeneration by asserting that salvation is conditioned upon one's self-initiated belief in Christ. Notice it says it's conditioned upon one's self-initiated belief in Christ. with the added demand that such ones must dedicate themselves to do God's will in their daily lives in order to be saved. The desirability of the salvation recipient's dedication to God is obviously stressed in the scriptures. First Corinthians chapter 4:2 and also 7:25. But because many are inattentive to the doctrine of grace, they are easily led to suppose that their self-imposed dedication is imperative to their positional status in Christ rather than that which is concomitantly annexed to maturity in the growth and development aspects of the child of God's manifested earthly link. This erroneous theme is herein considered in three aspects. Number one, the incapacity of human depravity. Now, we're going to be looking at this a lot today in terms of depravity. And how can you be saved when can a depraved person, quote, surrender to God? Number two, what is involved? And number three, the minister's role in conveying scripture doctrine. See, now, before we go into the depravity, see, church, we need to understand what we need to understand, and only the Spirit of God can burn this into our heart. See, because you can't do without a corroboration that Jesus made in John. He said, I am the what? I am the vine.
All right.
You're the branches.
Right.
The branches get its life from the vine.
Right.
Just like for those who say, I'm a country boy. I had a lot of country experiences. I remember going in the woods and I would have my BB gun. And my mother would get on a case and we'd try to point those guns. Kids get mad. You try to point the gun. She'd be able to do that. I'm going to take that BB gun. But we would go in the woods and have this BB gun. And I would see some of these big trees. And you would have saying the big tree, but linked to those trees are what? These little branches. And that those branches get their life source, everything from the tree.
Right.
Amen. And the moment, in fact, it's amazing, every now and then we would see a tree that for whatever reason, the tree died. And once that tree dies, all of a sudden everything has died.
Right.
Because you are there linked, the branch are linked to that tree. Well, we are linked with Christ.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the security we have, we know that Christ can never die.
Yeah.
So because he can never die, we're always alive.
Always.
Because we have always united with him. Amen.
Hallelujah.
But he said, without me, and the reason that without me, you can't do nothing, because I am the one that controls all things. All the workers of God are controlled by me. So the fact that our salvation is linked with the God of our salvation, then we have total security in that, because God is the author. He's the author and the finisher of our faith.
Amen.
He's the beginning and the end of all things.
Right.
In all things, he has the preeminence.
Hallelujah.
So having said that, church, is this. Notice in the Greek, it mentions we haven't been justified, has completed what action.
Right.
You have because you were. You are saved today because you were saved in eternity.
Right.
And if you get salvation right, if you get salvation correct, everything about your life, your past, present, and future will automatically fall in place because you have salvation correctly. Hallelujah. You have it correctly exegeted. You have the correct, hallelujah, connotation towards salvation.
Right.
But on the other hand, if you are confused about salvation, I promise you, you will be confused about your life.
Yeah.
You will be confused. One day you're saved, one day you're going to hell.
Yeah.
Another day you don't know whether or not God is mad with you. You will be up and down because you are all messed up in salvation.
Amen.
But if you know that God has saved you before the foundation of the world.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, if that would tell you something, just using some deductive reasoning. If you know God saved you in eternity, in fact, you read that deep, it says, in love, he predestinated you.
Yeah.
He predestinated you Because what? He loved you. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. So that, yeah. See, if you know this, if you know this workings of God, yeah. If let's say you go out here and mess up, and you, whatever you do, you, let's say you do something that's what? Totally irresponsible. Mm-hmm. Now, we're not minimizing, thank God, you learn more, you do more. Amen.
Right.
But you know, in this flesh, you're going to mess up sometimes. And somebody says, but God is mad with you, and you know, all this kind of stuff. Well, if you just know that, wait a minute, how can God be mad with me in time when he loved me in eternity? Amen. Now the Holy Spirit is our teacher. Yeah, if you mess up, one of the advocate gifts of the ministry of the Holy Spirit is he's a teacher. And he will teach and lead and guide you into all truth. But yet God will lead you at the same time, and if you blow it one time, in fact, when you say you blew it, all that happened, God has allowed depravity to run its course in that situation.
Hallelujah.
Because some of you, and everyone in here, you know there are times that you look back, you say, man, how do you come out of that situation?
Yeah.
You made the dumbest decisions,
yeah.
whatever,
yeah.
and God brought you out.
Yeah.
Well, at that time, God held back depravity.
Yeah.
And another time, you say, whoa, you know, God let it hit you, slam in the face.
Yeah.
Because why? So what my point is this, church,
Hallelujah.
The whole idea is this. God controls all things.
All.
In all things he has the preeminence.
Yeah.
But if you get salvation right, you get everything else correctly.
Mm-hmm.
Then, what? Right. Because you have everything lined up the way it should be. Amen.
Right.
So,
right.
Go and take it one step further. Hallelujah. When people say, well, I decided to get saved. Or when they say, I watched a program and I was convicted by the Holy Spirit. And I got saved. Well, so first of all, who did the convicting?
All right.
Amen. Who was controlled there?
All
it
right.
was the Holy Spirit yeah. that controlled you. But all let's right. analyze. Let's look at this doctrine or this teaching
yeah.
that people say they can turn on salvation when they want to, or they can turn it off. Or it's like, you know, it's like they're living like whatever. And all of a sudden they say, you know what, I think I better get it together. I better get saved today.
Mm-hmm.
What about that?
All
let's
right.
go into the incapacity. Of human depravity. We're still on the first page.
Mm-hmm.
The synergist notion is that the reception of so-called common grace
mm-hmm.
qualifies everyone
mm-hmm.
as competent to accept Christ as Savior
oh,
if such one freely wills to do so. Notice,
oh,
the free will people.
Mm-hmm.
You free will.
Mm-hmm.
Say one day.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I heard them say, I heard, you know, see, when you get all confused, you have all. You come up with all kind of false doctrine.
Yes.
Because some people say, you know what? They'll say, you know, all these are Christians. They say, I'm just going to live it up,
mm-hmm.
do what I want to do, and just, you know, they'll say, when I see signs of the tribulation coming,
mm-hmm.
or when you know, when I'm on my deathbed, that's when I will confess the Lord and get saved.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you talking about some arrogance.
Oh, my God.
Amen. Some ignorance.
Yeah.
Amen. By the way, the word ignorance basically means without knowledge.
Not knowledge.
But you cannot turn on salvation off and on like you want to. Because you know what? When you do that and when you say that, I ask you one question. Who is in control?
Right.
God is in control of all things. Amen.
Yeah.
Now, looking at this here, this free will. The perception of this idea further averts that mankind is inherently proffered with the common grace, which capacitates all to dedicate their lives to God.
Mm.
But contrariwise, there is much written in the scriptures regarding the overwhelming testimony,
mm-hmm.
notice, of the utter inability
mm-hmm.
and spiritual death of depraved mankind.
Yeah.
In other words, church, we need to understand
mm-hmm.
that your old man
mm-hmm.
is depraved.
Mm-hmm.
He is depraved. He hates God.
Yep. Corrupt.
He's corrupt.
Yes,
and the new man,
mm-hmm.
that's the man that's recreated
All right.
in Christ Jesus.
Yes,
see, you need to understand. And that's another problem that people have. When they cannot differentiate the old man
mm-hmm.
from the new man.
Right.
See, when we say that you are what? You are a member of the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
That's the new man.
That's the new.
You were created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works.
Yeah.
That's the new man.
New man.
Can somebody go out here and what? Tell a lie. Mm-hmm. Or they mm-hmm. cheat on the taxes.
Yes.
Or they do everything.
Yeah.
Guess what? That's the old man.
The old man.
And it's one thing about depravity. Mm-hmm. You don't have to teach a person to be depraved.
No way.
Just breathe. And you, depravity will manifest itself.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
I remember, when my oldest son was 30 years old, this past August. And I remember when he would, he was a little baby, and when he was old enough to, you know, he was old enough to kind of eat food on his own. And I remember one time, Sister Karen, see, I had come in from work, and, Sister Karen had given him after she had eaten his vegetables, she had given him a piece of cake. So when he came, when he saw me, you know, the first thing he said was, you know, dad, I want something to eat, you know, and so many words. But here's the point. I didn't know, but see, I gave him a piece of something else, but then I noticed when I picked him up, you know, he was sleeping, there was some other food that he had hidden.
Oh.
In other words, he did not want me to know that what? He had already had something.
Yeah.
So he wanted to notice. He did not have to go to school.
Uh-huh.
He did not have to be taught that.
Uh-huh.
Just that that's being depraved.
Right.
He didn't want me to see that he had already eaten something.
Right.
But he wanted it to appear that he was still hungry. And all of you are seeing, in other words, he did not have, that's a manifestation of depravity.
Right. Right.
And you little kids, you know, they'll say, you know, they'll be crying, you know, what? And the mothers, you know what, amen, mothers, thank God for mothers, because God has given mothers many things God has not given me. And that one thing is that tenderness, you know, mm-hmm. that mothers have.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing to me. These kids, they can be what? Comfortable, full, dry, and all of a sudden, when they want you to hold them, what they do? Yeah. And they know there's nothing wrong, but they want mama to hold me. And you know what? That's called manipulation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you don't have to say, little John, little Mary, let me teach you how to manipulate. No. Just breathe, and depravity will manifest itself.
I hear you.
Amen.
I hear you.
So, having said that, but the things of God,
mm-hmm.
the workings of God, these things have to be taught.
Uh-huh.
And why do you think the Lord has allowed Pastor Labor day and night in the Word? Through what? Writing.
Mm-hmm.
Through the internet. And through the Bible teaching, all
yeah,
this.
Yeah,
these are what? Yeah. Because these are things you have to be what? Taught.
Oh, yeah.
But do you know when you get your glorified body, there'll be no more Bible school?
No.
There'll be no more Bible class?
No.
Why? Because we will be like Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
But in this state where we are growing into maturity, you need to be taught. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
So having said that, let's look at the incapacity here.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, looking at the inability for mankind that's in spiritual death, a person that's in spiritual death, the depraved mind cannot come to God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's go to Romans here. Let's go to Romans chapter 7. Now, notice, while you go to Romans, church, now we know the Apostle Paul wrote Romans.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody's, let's read an account. Let's look at an account of a man that wrote 75% of the New Testament. Amen.
Amen.
Let's look at an account of a man that God gave the revelation of the mystery.
Mm-hmm.
A man, amen, that was the leader of the Grace Church.
Yep.
A man that God caught up to the third heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And God showed him so many things that he couldn't even express it in the language of that day.
Oh,
amen.
Man.
And many believe it was the God showed them the body of Christ.
Man.
And I also concur, I believe that also.
Mm-hmm.
What about this man? Somebody said, what about this man, the Apostle Paul? Let's go to Romans here.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see, once you understand the workings of God, let's read Romans chapter 7. Let's go to Romans chapter 7, and let's go right into the 12th verse.
All
right. Romans chapter 7. Now let's start with verse 14.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. We are reading, I repeat, Romans chapter 7, verse 14. Let's go with the King. You go with King James.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Romans chapter 7,
uh-huh.
beginning at the 14th verse.
Yes.
For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin.
Now, pause it. I am carnal, saying under sin. Well, he's not talking about what? The new man. The new man is what? Is created into Christ Jesus. Now, you know, when somebody, you know, do you know that you are perfect? Somebody say perfect. What do you mean? Yes. The real you. The new man is perfect. But you in his what? Flesh. All types of what? Problems, because we're in a what? We're, thank God, one day God is going to what? Get rid of this what? Sinful flesh. But the new man in Christ Jesus, that man, recreating Christ Jesus, that man is what? Perfect. He's holy. He's righteous. Now, so when we all say what? Living in his flesh, these are the things that we all deal with. Amen. These sins of the flesh that the Spirit of God will work out in our life so that he can help us deal with these things. Amen. Because we can still say the greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Amen.
All right.
Let's go deep.
Verse 15.
Uh-huh.
For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not.
Mm-hmm.
But what I hate, that do I.
The things that, Paul said, wait a minute. Somebody said, I know, this was Paul. This was when he was Saul. When he was before God knocked him off the animal and God gave him the revelation. God says, the Lord says, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And then he says, what? I'm going to show you what things you must suffer for my name's sake. You know what? And God, what? God sends him in and he's blinded. And notice, God takes the blinders off. Notice, he was blinded physically. Notice, Paul was blinded physically for a period of time. And it's amazing how God's working, because guess what? Paul was blinded physically. But you know what preceded that? Saul was blinded spiritually.
Uh-oh.
When we say spiritual blinded, he could not see the workings of God. In other words, he actually thought that he was doing God a favor by killing Christians.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, he said, "Hey, in other words, anything that opposed what the law, it was against his program."
Mm-hmm.
So he said, "What?" So when God, notice, God one day took the scales off Paul's eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And he could see. One day God took the spiritual blindness off his eyes and he could see the body of Christ, the workers of God, that we were saved before the foundation of the world. Amen. So, looking at this, let's keep reading here.
Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that is good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
No, it is not I that do it.
Mm-hmm.
It is not I. It is not what? The new man.
Mm-hmm.
The new man cannot sin.
Right.
See, if you,
mm-hmm.
if you do not, if you cannot, if you don't differentiate between the what?
Man.
The new man and the old man,
mm-hmm.
you will be confused doctrinally.
Yes, sir.
Because many times our goal is fact corroborate what John said. One account says that we sin not. In other words, that the new man, he cannot sin.
Right.
And I look at that. So what mean a man cannot sin? I mean, you know, we miss it. We miss it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I see that, he said the Bible says. He said John said he cannot sin.
Mm-hmm.
But John was not talking about what the old man.
God, no.
The new man that's what? Created in Christ Jesus. It is impossible for him to sin because that man is the new man that's created after Christ Jesus.
All right.
So when Paul talks about the things here, he's talking about what? The sin that dwells in our mortal body.
Right.
And thank God one day he's going to get rid of this sinful mortal body. Amen.
Right.
And we'll be like unto his glorified body.
Yeah.
Keep, you can keep reading here.
17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me.
Amen.
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find.
Notice, in other words, that which the sin that dwelleth in me, You can dress it up. Mm-hmm. You can do whatever it is. Mm-hmm. That sinful nature, saints, is still going to manifest itself.
Yes.
And somebody said, well, you know, I had a good day today. Let me tell you something. The best day you have, if you do an analysis of that day, you'll find out many times you still blew it. Because you say your mind, so you have your categories of where you say, this day I didn't, I, you know, whatever. You know, I didn't lie, I worked good, and I treated my wife good, and you go to bed at night and you feel so proud. And the same day you had an ill will towards someone, and you begin to list what you really did that day, you say, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the grace of God. Hallelujah. But see, the point is this. The new man cannot sin because that's the man that's created in Christ Jesus. But the old man, I'm telling you, the old man by nature. And by the way, hallelujah, when you learn more, you do more. Grace does not give us a license to sin. Amen. In fact, one thing about grace, one preacher said, hey, when you miss it, don't run from God, run to God. Amen. Because that's the manifestation of the workings of God, is for us to be more like Christ. Amen. But see the problem that the people have that do not understand the depravity of man. You, a depraved man is depraved. A depraved man cannot come to God. Some time ago, they had a carnival on. I saw this glances on TV. What they were doing, these farmers had these, everybody was supposed to come up with some unique animals and just kind of, you know, like horses and everything. They were supposed to clean them up, and they were supposed to see who would win the prize. And some of these farmers had a couple of pigs, pigs, you know. And what they did, they cleaned them up, and they put some ribbons on them, they took some pictures, and they said, look at, boy, it's like, and so what the way they did it, saints, the way they did it, so after the contest, after the judges made this ruling, the farmers that had spent all days dressing up these pigs, and they put the little colorful things on them, and they won. It was so much money, and here the farmers were so proud that their two pigs won this little contest. And in a matter of an hour, when those pigs got near a pig pen, guess what? They won right in it. They were all having a good time. Why? That's their nature. He's a pig.
Amen.
And he's a pig. He's going to find a pig pen. So the point is that by nature, we are sinful.
Yes.
We are sinners saved by grace.
Yes. Yes.
And I know a lot of people don't like that. Even a lot of Christians, you know, they'll say, no. A sinner. We are sinners saved by the grace of God.
Yes. Yes.
Amen. And the fact that we know, see, one thing about true grace church, we don't magnify sin. What do? We magnify the God of our salvation. We magnify Christ. We magnify His workings. But at the same time, we are not so naive to the point to say that what? That we are not what? We are not depraved.
Right. Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank God. Keep going, D. Let's read it.
Verse 19.
Mm-hmm.
For the good that I would, I do not,
mm-hmm.
but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Mm-hmm. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me.
No, she said, when I would do good,
mm-hmm.
evil is all around. Mm-hmm. You want to do good, but what? There's still evil present.
Yes, sir.
Keep reading, D.
Mm-hmm. 22, I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am.
Wait a minute. Wretched man. Somebody said, the man that God gave the revelation of the mystery. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. The man that wrote the book of the New Testament, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. The man that God took up to the third heavens and showed him so many things that he couldn't even put into words. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. But he wasn't talking about the new man. He was talking about the old man. And you need to know that old man does not want to have anything to do with God.
Right, right, right.
Amen. D, come on.
Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin.
And you know, if you start reading that, and understand, saying the church, the Bible was not written in what? Chapters and verses.
Right, right.
Now thank God for those. It does help us to organize what? You need to find a scripture, you can call it out through what? Chapter and verse. But many times, the context of what's said, many times, they put the verse there or the number there, and it sometimes cuts off the intended meaning of the word. In other words, when they cut this off at 25, it's a bad place to cut this off because Romans chapter 7, verse 25 is directly linked to Romans 8:1. In other words, see, if you look at all Paul's, this sinful body, you know, there's no hope. In other words, if you stop at 25, you would think that sin is reigning in your mortal body. In other words, you think that there's no hope. But thank God, look at 8:1. Thank God. Let's go to 8:1.
There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus.
Let's go right into the Greek. In your Greek.
Who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit.
Now we can go right into, now we, before we go back to the document, let's go right into, read that Romans 8, chapter 8,
uh-huh,
in the Greek text.
All right. Romans chapter 8, verse 1, Greek interlineal text. Know then now condemnation to the in Christ Jesus.
Okay, then what about who walk not after?
It's not. It does not appear.
In other words, in your Bible, in fact, it'll be okay because, by the way, if you have a Bible, you should feel free to write in it, whatever. Somebody said, write in my Bible. Yes. In other words, it's your personal Bible, right? It would do you no harm to take a red pen, whatever. If you have a translation that has walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit, you just cross that out, right out.
Right.
Cross it right out. Because that's not in the original context. Because what happens when they say, who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit, what they're saying, now are we saying you should walk after the spirit? Yes. It's the goal of grace, yes, to walk after the spirit. Uh-huh. But does everybody do it 24/7? No. And if you say you do, you have just proven that you don't, because you have told something that's not true. Amen. So what we're saying here is this, Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those in Christ Jesus, period. So somebody say, God is mad with you. There is therefore now no condemnation, period. I messed up today. There is therefore now no condemnation, period. But the workers of God, isn't it wonderful to know that you are not condemned? Just knowing that, church, but notice, you are not condemned. We are not condemned. God loves us in eternity. Why would God condemn those that he loves? Amen. So, looking at this further, when you look at the human depravity, see, mankind, it's the belief that in most Christians, in many churches I came out of, the preacher would give he would preach and say a lot of very little preaching, and then it's like, okay, you come to me, you make a decision this day. It's like you could turn off in the workings of God anytime you want. But notice, somebody said, well, what about a depraved man? Are you depraved? Yes, we're depraved. But what did God do? The Bible says that when we were dead in our trespasses and sins, God quickened us. Notice, it was God that quickened us and made us alive in Christ Jesus. You were on your way to just go and do whatever you want to do, and God is the one that touched your heart. God is the one that was in control. And God said, because I have linked you in eternity, I will manifest that in time. But God is the author and the finisher of thy faith.
Right.
It was all started with the workings of God, not about your faith.
Right.
Now somebody said, I believe. You believe because you were called to believe. God calls you. The Bible tells us that that Romans 5:5, that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. There is nothing, a depraved mind does not want anything to do with God. The same God that we love. Now, we don't know who the non-elect are, but we can go by what? Just testimony that, let's say the non-elect out here. Do you know the things about God, they laugh? To them, it's no big issue. Why? Because they are what? They are cut off from God. And a person that is cut off from God, it's no way that they are going to come to God.
Right.
Amen. So you can witness to them. You can talk to them until whatever. If they are not the elect, they are not going to come to God. Well, somebody say, well, that's the case. I shouldn't talk to nobody because I don't. Hey, if they're not going to come to God, I shouldn't talk to nobody. See, that's what we call irresponsible thinking.
Yeah.
Because you don't know who the elect,
right.
Because you don't know
right.
Who the elect is, just put the word out there. And the Holy Spirit is the one that
right.
Will quicken the word.
Yeah.
It's the Holy Spirit is the one that will draw them into the body of Christ.
Yeah.
That is God's business.
Oh, hallelujah.
The church is God's church.
Hallelujah.
The workings is God's workings. So God gave us the small portion. In other words, in fact, even if you don't witness, that we're not saying don't. Amen. Thank God for the preaching of the gospel. But do you know that God does not need the preaching to save somebody? Somebody say, you committed. See, when you tell people that, they say you committed blasphemy. God, understand, if you were saved in eternity. Hey, think about it now. If you were saved in eternity, the body of Christ was a product of God's what he did in eternity.
Uh-huh.
So if God had the body of Christ already formulated,
already designed.
In eternity,
already.
He doesn't need man help in time. But let's say this. But God has done a process of God's working. It's what?
Yes.
What? Preaching?
Mm-hmm.
What? Sharing this good news?
Mm-hmm.
Other things, these are all processes that God has decreed in time. But God has put everything together in eternity. It's
all done.
Initiated.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Designed.
Yes.
Complete.
Yes.
In eternity.
Yes.
Amen. But his workings and the different components of God's workings of the gospel, which is preaching. Sharing the good news, and God worked in different mediums. What? Even what? The internet, television, radio. See, God worked through what? So he worked through different mediums to manifest what he's already done in eternity.
Hallelujah.
He doesn't do things in time as an initiation. He does things in time as a testimony. What you hear today is just a testimony of what God did for you in eternity.
Yes,
I hear you. So thank God.
Hallelujah.
We can just rejoice in the fact
Hallelujah.
That he has everything already in control. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Going back to the document here.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
So we are reading here. It says, so here's the both the new and grace covenants declare the exclusive message that Christ is Savior, but also that no one can accept him aside from being illuminated to that end by the Holy Spirit. In other words, you cannot accept him. It has to be illuminated by the Holy Spirit. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. We're in Romans. Let's go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Let's corroborate something else here.
See,
before we read this, we need to understand. There's what? There's a new man and an old man.
Yes.
There's a spiritual man and a carnal man.
Right.
The spiritual man is what? Created in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
The carnal man is part of the old man nature. But let's read this here real quick. But the natural man, Deacon Gavin, begins our reader.
All right. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14. Through 16.
Yes.
King James. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know, because they are spiritually discerned.
You see that? You see what happens? If now we don't know who the elect are, but let's say a non-elect person, and you try to talk about the eternal workings of God to a non-elect person, they're gonna look at you like you're crazy. Mm-hmm. See, you go to somebody, that's, and again, you don't know who the elect or non-elect are, but we're making a point. Mm-hmm. Let's say if a person is really the non-elect. God knows who they are, right? You try to talk to them about what? About reconciliation, propitiation, adoption, they would look at you like you came from the moon. And I thought, think about this. God's elect that were born saved in eternity, even if you talk to them about these deeper things of God, they'll say, what plan do you come out of? So if you know, if God's elect are all confused about these things, you can forget it. You know the non-elect ain't going to get it. If God's elect can't get it. And by the way, if they can't get it, it's all a product of God's what? Design. And his purpose. The only reason you get it because God has what? Design for you to get it. No, somebody said, no, I get it because I got into the studying and I got into the Greek and I did all this. Thank God. That's a testimony. That was God's unction to you, because if God did not unction you, you would not do that. Amen. Without him, we can't do nothing. But God used that process to illuminate you to what? The doctrines of salvation. You understand propitiation, adoption, reconciliation, justification, sonship. You only understand this because God has caused you to understand this. Why is it that you understand this and your PhD next neighbor can't get it at all?
Amen.
10 degrees, can't get it. Amen?
Amen.
Why? Because God has not designed, has not willed for that person, what, to get it. God does everything as it pleases, what, him. And if we understand, if we ever understand that everything about God is about God, then we can eliminate a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble, to know that everything is about what God has purposed and designed for our life before the foundation of the world. Okay, Deacon. You can keep reading that scene.
Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind
of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. That new man. Create that new man. Now you know the old man ain't got, listen, that old man ain't got anything about God. But that new man, we have the mind of Christ. Amen. The new man that's recreated in Christ Jesus. Now, going back to the document, saving faith as viewed by the majority is not imparted specifically because someone believes, but are the results that recipients of God's choice and election to salvation were foreordained to position of sonship before the creation of the world. It follows that the misperceived disposition requisite of surrendering one's life to God as an enacting condition of salvation is both unscriptural and practically unreasonable. Notice this, God's manifested call to his elect, next page, is never in the form of an appeal to their capacitated unction to yield unto the lordship of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, a depraved man can't do this. In stark contrast, saving grace engendered the reception of God's divine nature through the eternal regenerating work of the Holy Spirit, in which designated ones' understanding and capacity to respond to the authority of Christ were decreed in eternity and manifested in time. Those attended upon such issues as human and determinate ways must comprehend that all concepts of mankind's self-dedication overwhelms all limits or mankind's ability, even for the most devout respondent. Key is this. Salvation is a product of the workings of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that what? Energized your spirit. And what? Just like God took the blindness of Paul's eyes and he could see. Now, you know what? See, just in history, see, you could see. Now, if you look at how God dealt with the leader of the Grace Church, well, in that account, From the time that Stephen was preaching the kingdom gospel, and he was preaching the and you know the story that Stephen was preaching the gospel, and Paul heard him preach, He was preaching the kingdom gospel. And he was basically Peter was saying you that you keep calling these Jewish people you evil workers, you know, you kill the Son of God and all that. See, now understand, Stephen was talking from a limited point of understanding, because you read that it seemed like what he was saying was that yeah, they killed him, but based upon that covenant, the knowledge we have that God was still in control, and God allowed that to happen as part of his eternal workings. But the point is that when the Bible says when Saul considered Stephen's death, and later on God saves him, where in that account do you see any situation where Saul wants anything to do with Jesus? Where in that account do you see that he was trying to come to Jesus? It was just the opposite. See, he was white. Anybody that even had an affiliation with the Lord Jesus Christ, Saul wanted them wiped off this earth. So where in that account do you see anything of, quote, Paul Saul coming to God? God was the one that knocked him off the animal. God was the one that said, why are you persecuting me? God was the one that said, go here, go there. And God was the one that said, I'm going to tell you what things you must suffer for my name's sake. It was God working in every iota of his life. And just like our life, God worked, you know, God, because we're all uniquely designed by God. God, because you were saved in eternity, God had a unique design specifically for your life to manifest what he did for you in eternity. A different manifestation, one decree, one act, but many times different acts of testimony in time. But the one decree, and by the way, God does not make their decisions. God, thank God, he does not make their decisions. See, thank God he does not make, now we make their decisions because we'll say, we know what it is, when the kids do right, we'll say, okay, no, I'm sorry, yes, but then they don't behave with it. No, thank God for that, right? We make their decisions based on what's going on in time.
Right.
God makes one decree because God it's not governed by time. God move and work everything through eternity. Amen. So God's call was an eternal call. It was one act in eternity. When he saved you, he called you out before the foundation of the world. Now read on the second paragraph on page 2 in the document. Again, second paragraph, page 2. We'll close out in a few minutes here. The error of imposing one's comprehension and adherence to Christ's lordship upon the depraved is disastrous. For no one is able upon being called upon to dedicate one's lives in that none has the inherent ability to produce such if demanded. As unintentional as it may be, this type of doctrine dogma is very destructive in that this blessing error altogether, amen, omits the idea of the eternal workings of Christ in behalf of salvation and promotes exclusively the obligation of one's self-initiated surrender to God. See, if you get it wrong in salvation, everything regarding that wrong or the erroneous teaching is going to flow from that. Because what you're saying, when you say, well, I surrender my life to the Lord. Now you're saying, I surrender all these good works to the Lord also. You see the problem there? I did this. I did it. You know what? The moment, the bigger the I becomes, the smaller grace becomes. In grace, it's all one personality, one figure. Everything is Christ. And it's one thing about a true graceful person is that Christ is magnified. We are minimized. Christ is exalted. We are what? The base. John, in corroboration, John says, to corroborate one thing, John, even in a limited covenant, John said, corroborate one thing, John said, he must what?
Increase.
I must decrease. The smaller we become, the bigger he becomes. Amen. And that's the way it should be. Amen. This then, hallelujah, cascades into the periphery of natural incentives as an allurement to incite dedication from God's people. In this sensual calling substitutes consecration in lieu of election, humanly motivated participation in lieu of the faithful motivation of Christ, and the accomplishments and the failures of daily living in lieu of the determinants and essence of eternal life are the prioritized focus. You see, when you get the workings of God out of balance, the light, see, when the light is shone on you, you know something's wrong.
Amen.
Because in grace, there's only one personality, and that is the personality of Christ.
Amen.
And I close out on this last paragraph here. Unfortunately, this type of thinking, either consciously or unconsciously, ignores the accomplishment of Christ's death, the propitiatory sacrifice, as a ground of regeneration, an exclusive basis for the forgiveness of the sin nature. The scriptures vehemently deny any promotion of the wretched doctrine that respects the saviorhood of Christ only if one's dead or life or dedication is affixed in tandem to Christ's eternal sacrifice. This so-called pseudo self-dedication to God is packaged in a rare bit of religion by which depraved mankind has conjured up such a delusion. Hence, those who embrace it do so at the expense of partially or completely discounting the true faithfulness in Christ's eternal workings as the exclusive impetus to their salvation. Notice this here. No more complete example could be found today of the blind leading the blind than what this doctrinal system represents. In other words, they take, it's the attitude that, in fact, they really have it backwards. What they'll say is, you dedicate your life to the Lord. You get rid of all this sin. Get rid of this. And then God will accept you. You clean yourself up. Now, if you know anything about depravity, a depraved man cannot clean himself up. Amen. And that's why these false doctrines, and I had men on to say, you know, they have a girl coming to the church. Amen. And this person may be what? Involved in what? So many, whatever going on, right?
Yeah.
You know, all of a sudden, now think of this wrong teaching. If you don't put the workings of God, what? In eternity. Now, all of a sudden, God may touch this person's heart. May have never darkened a door in a church. But she goes into a religious system that have everything wrapped up into you straighten yourself up and then you can come to God. And not knowing that this young lady was maybe may have been beat up by the world. All kind of what? Problems. But yet she comes into, the Lord may lead her to a place for whatever conditions. And then they put this religious system on her. You do this, you do that, you do that, you do that. Now, at this point, at a certain point, you can come to our church and get saved.
Come on, preacher.
But if you know that person was saved in eternity, you take them at their testimony because you don't know whose God's elect is. All you do is thank God that he called and elected you. And whatever it is, you let God handle his business. Get out of God's business. It's God's church. It's God's workers. It's God's faithfulness. It's God's love. It's God. Everything is God. Let God be God. And for 2,000 years, the church has tried to play God. And that's why this thing is all messed up now. But thank God, that's all part of God's workings. Because the only reason God allows these different denominations to manifest themselves, by the way, God controls all things, so he controls that.
Yeah.
But then, see, one day, just like, thank God he allowed our blindness to be off in time.
Yeah.
One day, God will allow, amen, based on his eternal workings, the other blindness to be, all the blindness of off are taken off. People will see, wait a minute, it wasn't about my religious system. It wasn't about baptism. It wasn't about tongues. It wasn't about anything but what God did for me before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
And when we have it in that, hallelujah, once our cogitation in the workings of God is lined up with what God did for us,
amen,
before the foundation of the world.
Amen.
Do you know that's total security?
Amen.
When you see, You ask a lot of Christians, I close on this one thing. You ask a lot of Christians, I don't care what denomination they come out of, you ask them a blank question. Ask them, do you believe that there is security in Christ? Because they heard it so many times, they'll say, well, yeah. And if you analyze them so many times, you'll find that many of them are the most, what, insecure. They're fragile in terms of their, what, their salvation. Because they have everything about what God did, hallelujah, linked in time. Amen. But when you know that when you, hallelujah, have put yourself out of the way, and that God manifests his workings through what he did for you as a member of his glorious body, and then we can walk by faith and not by sight, to know that, by the way, we can trust his faithfulness, because his faithfulness never, hallelujah, his faithfulness never fails. His love never fails. His kindness never fails. We are but depraved dust in time. But because we are united with him, in spite of the gas prices, hallelujah, in spite of what's going on in our household, we can know that our life is set because we are united with him who is the author and the finisher of our faith. And then we can go to bed every night in spite of the tests, in spite of the trials, in spite of the tribulations, we can say that I can rejoice in the God of my salvation, because he loved me before the foundation of the world. And no matter what comes, no matter left, no matter death, life, sickness, illness, poverty, prosperity, no matter what comes, I can look up to say, he is the joy of my salvation. And it's him I live and move and have my being. And I can rejoice and have a good night's sleep, because he is the God of my salvation. Amen. God bless you.